Stand by to receive our transmission.
It's Roast with Jeff and Dom. And now, here are your Roastmasters.
You damp.
Hello there.
You made a new intro.
Jefferson, yeah, I got a couple of them. I've got one that's like ABBA. I've got another one that's, I don't know, Felgo Yogo something. I don't know.
I like this one the best.
Oh, thank you. I was really dragging that end out as much as I could. But ladies and gentlemen, J.M. Bell. Sir,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been too long. One of the things when you're in a house is that there'll be other people in the house while you're recording at the same time. So if you happen to hear guitars downstairs, if you happen to hear music throughout the show, just kind of think that you're in a coffee shop or something, and this is what's happening. So
we're fancy pants.
Yeah, we are. We can afford our own fancy pants coffee.
Right.
How are you? Should I
start
ask?
With the hard ones? Are you?
Let's start off with the hard ones. Okay, what isn't shitty? What isn't sucky?
These are, I believe, gotcha questions.
Oh, they no, they're just catch up questions. They may catch some people, but they're not. They're supposed to catch up. They're not supposed to catch you. No.
No, things are. I mean, things have been better. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what it is, because you and I have talked about it before, but I have a transgender kid.
And so do I.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons why we're so close, I think. Even though we didn't know until the last time we talked.
It was like, it's like the biggest question is like, well, you know, didn't you know? Couldn't you tell? And they go, no, kids keep secrets. And actually, that's a good thing because they're going through what they're going through and they're dealing with what they're dealing with. But, you know, your kid is your kid.
Well, for mine, it was because he's young and didn't know how to articulate what it was he was feeling.
Oh, that must have just been awful.
Yeah, it really, really was. And then finally, you know, internet study is what got him where he needed to be, to where he could tell us what the hell was going on.
Really?
And, you know, just because we are who we are, everything was with a small learning curve. Make no mistake. I'm still trying to figure out the long list of pronouns.
As parents, you will make a mistake, you know, and use the wrong gender. And, you know, that she's, you know, my daughter's now forgiven me for that. So it's no big deal. But there was a time, you know, that that happened.
Well, sure. And I mean, you try that with a 12-year-old and, you know, he's 14 now. We've been going through this for the last couple of years. So we have a friend of ours who's post-transition, and he did his name change, and it cost him a couple $100 and a little bit of time. And so we're trying to do the name change for my kid. Because he's a minor in Utah, we have to have like a lawyer. We have to have a guardian of the court. We have to have an extra shrink. We have to have all his stuff. And it's thousands of dollars.
Jesus God.
Thousands of dollars. And you still might get some religious judge. And so, you know, I didn't ask on the left show out loud, and a couple of people responded. And it looks like I'm going to have to do a GoFundMe. But how, and this is where it gets catchy, is how do I do one that both, you know, honors what my kid's going through, but then doesn't out him in a way that is disrespectful, yet still is eye-catching enough that people pay attention and help.
Change. And I think to just simplify it is just help us transition. I mean, do you really have to give all the nitty-gritty?
That's what I don't know, man. I mean, you look at what works and what doesn't, and you might be right. I might be overthinking it.
I think you might be. I think that if your story is compelling enough, and I don't mean to be, you know, flippant about any of this. Obviously, this is a thing that in both of our lives where, you know, my kid is going to be 21 in May, and your guy is what, 14? Okay.
Yeah.
You're in a different state. You're in a different set of circumstances. And I think what's part of the story too is, of course, the Mormon church. And of course, I would love to use the word insidious, the penetrating veil that they put over law and everything in Utah. And they're the damn nanny state. And so, of course, you know, they think they're doing the very best by everybody else. But the point is that what about the things that they haven't thought of? And that's just about everything. So when it comes to your story, you have the story of where you're at. You have the story of your guy, and you have the story of a very simple thing that needs to be done, you know, to change the name. And what you want to do is reaching out to, you know, every sentient person who has empathy, who can, you know, help contribute. And, you know, you just can't do it by yourself. We're all for some particular reason, you know, are either we're between jobs or we're not making enough. And this is the issue that this seems to be happening.
Well, all right. If you're going to make it sound easy, that's fine. Whatever.
Oh, well.
I mean, that's just it. I think part of the problem is everything else I'm working on right now. We're towards the end. I'm about to kick out all the rest of the changes for, you know, rebranding my network.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. World's greatest podcast network.
Start off strong.
Yeah, it's humble, but it's mine. And, you know, worldsgreatestpodcast.com was available, which seemed
no a message
from the universe.
You're kidding me.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
No, even better, when we did decide to rebrand, because that's what we were calling the comic book show, is the world's greatest comic book podcast. When we decided that I was going to take that, make that the umbrella for the self-hosted shows and do that, we needed to get a new URL for the comic book show. And mm-hmm. So now we have thecomicbookpodcast.com, which for some other reason was not taken.
That's absolutely insane.
You got to believe I bought those for as many years as I could afford.
Yeah, sure. Now, one thing I've also noticed too is do you go through Google? Because Google domains, you can actually park them or buy it through them if you can get them cheap enough. I mean, the whole process is getting a lot more simplified, but the whole thing is always, in a lot of ways, eluded me as far as, you know, buying the domain, where to park them, where to host them, where to do the web stuff. Jesus.
I do it all through GoDaddy. I am a creature of habit, and with one exception, they've been very good to me over the years. Their uptime is insanely good. You know, they've made some changes. They sold me a lifetime thing and then quit supporting it when they found out that, you know, whatever. So we did have to make all those server changes last year and this year, mostly this year. But everything transferred over just fine. About the only thing I have to go back and do now is go back and change podcast links.
Oh, the new one.
thecomicbookpodcast.com. Oh, wow. That is a lot of work because we've done, 315 episodes of that one?
315 episodes. Holy shit. That's right. And you just finished the 400th show of The Left Show.
Yeah.
So that's it. Well done. I have a very squeaky floor.
I have a very squeaky chair.
But I can't hear your squeaky chair, but you could probably hear my squeaky floor.
Oh, you'll hear it. You'll hear it on the repeat.
Oh, I'll hear it. Oh, I'll hear it real good.
So here's what we were talking before we started recording about catching up after.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stuff that'll come once we hit the off button, but
a lot of tears. Lots of tissue time applied to the eye.
I got that. Let's see what you did there.
Yes.
But because what I noticed was that when we do catch up beforehand, we come into the first half of the show.
Oh, that's right.
A little bit of a low ebb.
Right. You know, because, you know, we've you know, found out that, you know, somebody, you know, was hit by a car or even worse.
Sure. Not hit by a car, because I could certainly use the goddamn insurance payout right now.
I swear, came off of campaign season and it was like, what the fuck happened? All the clients just decided, you know, we're just kind of quiet right now. We're just kind of quiet. Let me see. Let me write that down. 12 minutes in, so I can write that on my version, so my clients don't hear that. I have some friends that listen to the show, and they love listening to it, and I just like, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank anybody enough for listening to us.
Hello.
Too crazy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I'm saying hello to your friends that are listening.
And, you know, so it's really just better just to start off fresh, hot, you know, like you've just taken a pie out of the oven and you're just cutting right into it and you're serving it up.
Right.
Just like that.
Right. I'm fine. I am in full agreement with you.
It's funny how agreement got popular.
Is that even a word?
It's not a word. It's okay. Not. I think it might have been from the Bush era or something.
Maybe it could be. There were a few new ones invented there.
Yes. Yes. So I mean, over the last couple of months. Okay. So this is probably one of our first official shows back. We've been doing some spotty things from time to time, and sure, you've just been, you know, like banging them out, you know, like every single week practically. And I've just been, I had a conversation with another person who's on the network, Netroots Radio Network. It's Arliss Bunny. And, you know, it's like, I noticed, like, you guys hadn't put out a show in a while. And, and it's like everybody's got, you know, something going on. But the thread that I hear from a lot of people is how overwhelmed they are about the current situation, you know. And for me, you know, like I had told you, you were just like, what more can I bring to the, I mean, how much more outrage am I supposed to bring to the table? I mean, what the hell good are we doing? What good can we do? I mean, I love the fact that if we're actualizing how people are feeling, people need to go somewhere to know that they're not crazy, that they, you know, that they can hear voices. They're not in their head. They're in earbuds on a podcast saying, you're not crazy. We're all experiencing this. And it's, you know, you've been doing it a lot longer than I have.
I've been doing it a little while.
Yeah.
Because before this, I did terrestrial radio.
That's right. You did. You did it. Were you on the 50K? Was that the 50K flamethrower KSL?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You can hear that. I think you can hear that all the way in Alaska.
You can on a good clear night when our pollution's not too bad. It bounces really, really well.
Oh, really? Off the ozone?
Yep. Wow. I've caught it driving east out of Utah. I've caught it as far as Kansas City.
Oh, that's nice.
Kind of. You know, but that particular, you know, time in their history, I didn't give a shit what was on. I was a kid and I was addicted to talk radio. Talk radio had a much saner tone back then.
It was different.
Much different.
In the 80s, pre-Limbaugh was much, much different. And I think that there were more help shows. You know, I'm not talking Laura Schlesinger or somebody else like that.
No. More like Leo Buscaglia, Earl Nightingale.
Yeah. There was a guy, Earl, maybe, was he like late night? I think there was another guy, Alan Berg out of Denver. He was the original, the original liberals on radio. And he was assassinated, killed in 84. In his driveway by a bunch of neo-Nazi skinheads.
Wasn't he the one that Eric Bogosian made the movie talk about?
Ooh, was that the show? You mean talk radio, the movie with Eric Bogosian? Yeah. It might have been.
Yeah. I wonder if it's based on that. I think it is.
We got to find that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a very good movie.
Oh, that's nice.
Very good play as well. In fact, I read the play before I saw the movie. Wanted to do it in my first year of college as a black box. I mean, you really don't need a lot for that one. And then saw Eric Bogosian do it and was like, well, I'm never going to do it that well.
Not so that good. Never mind then.
It really was. And what's her name? Oh, Green. Something Green. I can't remember her name. Audrey
Green. Oh, my God. I know who you're talking about.
Hold on. To the internet.
Let's right now, let's race as we go straight to the internet.
Well, you're wrong about one thing, Uncle Quentin. There is something we can still do, and that's call the police. Homosexuality is still against the law in this country, as well you know it.
Ellen Green.
Yes, Ellen Green. Was she the one who sang Suddenly Seymour?
Suddenly Seymour. Yeah, I had a thing for it. I still do. I had a thing for Ellen Green for a long time.
Yes.
She's a little old for me now, but I think that would be more her hang up than mine. I mean,
age appropriate relationships.
Oh, yeah, totally inappropriate, but I don't mind. Same thing with Bernadette Peters.
What an amazing talent.
Yeah.
God, she's amazing. Hot
still. I mean, you go back to The Jerk to now, you know, and you know, my childhood attraction to her has not faded.
I used to have this running gag with a couple of friends of mine is that ever since we first saw Jenny Augutter in Logan's Run, we always had this passing thing about Jenny Augutter. Now, she first started out in an Australian movie called Walkabout in the late 60s, early 70s. And she's, you know, from time to time you'll see her. And I think she showed up in Winter Soldier. But, you know, she's this like Australian actress, you know, and you've just seen her through the decades. This is really amazing performer. But then again, there's also the Queen Helen Mirren.
Oh, of course.
There you have it.
I remember Jenny Augutter.
Yeah. There you go.
He was another one that made, you know, young me pay attention in ways I hadn't before.
Focus. Not unlike the Adderall that Trump would snort in order to pay attention.
Oh, man.
Did you hear that story?
No.
Oh, this is a good one. This is really, really good. Now, I don't know why this guy is doing this, but there is a guy who is a... Now he's a stand-up comedian. I think his name is Noel Caster. Mm-hmm. And at one point in the last 20 or more years, he was either a PA or he was like a talent assistant on shows like The Apprentice. Yeah, Trump's Apprentice.
Okay.
And so he knows all where the bodies are buried regarding the shit that he used to do. All right. So he was doing stand-up maybe like a week or so ago, and this is part of his bit.
If Trump had a cooking show, they'd call it the douchebag diet. No, I'm going to tell you one more thing. I don't usually tell. I'll tell you two more things. He's a speed freak. He crushes up his Adderall and he sniffs it because he can't read, so he gets really nervous when he has to read cue cards. I'm not kidding. This is true. I had a 24-page NDA, non-disclosure agreement. I didn't know then he was becoming president. Now it's no way, dumbass. I'm telling you everything I know. So he gets nervous and he crushes up these pills. That's why he's sniffing when you see him in debates and when you see him reading. It's why he's tweeting. You know, he's like, he's out of his mind. It makes sense if you think about it. Methamphetamine was invented by the Nazis to keep the fighter pilots up all night on bombing runs, right? So it makes sense that Trump would use it to hate tweet and his self-centered rage at 4 a.m. on the toilet.
Right. So he just said he doesn't care about the NDA. He's just going to... It would have been nice for you to say something a couple of years ago, but
sure.
It would have been the same thing for everybody. That makes sense because I noticed a lot of times in the campaign where he was like, he would go, you know, he'd like sniff and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you know, I just go, well, it was in the 80s. One of his economic advisors, Kudlow, was a huge cocaine freak at the time. And you know what it does to your sinuses and your nose. And I thought, well, he's snorting shit or else he snorted shit or he just did cocaine, a ton of cocaine. And he didn't have a cocaine jaw, but he certainly exhibits like mania, you know, like intense, you know, just this outrageous intensity. And that makes sense. I mean, that's that guy. Noel Caster is his name. And that just kind of came out this evening. I don't know where someone unearthed it, but it's out there now. So it totally makes sense. So as it does. Jenny Augutter and Helen Mirren would allow us to focus and pay attention to the story and the plot, okay, the Adderall helped Trump. So there you have it.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Transitioning awkwardly to the next bit.
I don't know. I take the Adderall.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a redhead middle child. I'm severe ADD.
Oh. Well, the only thing close to it was I was trying to lose weight a couple of years ago, and the physician people recommended a certain, you know, diet supplement, and it was like, holy fuck, I am focused. It's just like, oh God, I can get so much done. This is wonderful.
It's, you know, I take a low dose, just enough for maintenance. And I've noticed, because I keep running out of money when I can't afford to buy it, because it's, you know, insulin is most important.
Oh, that's so right. You have that. Yes.
So once the insulin's bought, chances are I'm broke for the rest of the month. But sometimes I can afford my other meds, Adderall being one of them. And I get generic for extended release. And so I take a small dose. But, man, I go off it for a couple of days. And the lethargy is thick. It's like I am walking underwater. And I don't much care for it. And there's a part of me that's disturbed at being that dependent on a chemical. Mm-hmm. So this guy who's been smoking since he was 12 years old, you know, but quit smoking last week.
Oh, good. Oh, congratulations. That's great.
It's weird. Today, I spent more time in the car than I have since I stopped. And man, it was a nightmare.
It's hard. I mean, when you've got a dependency, you know, like that, you always want to like go back to it, you know.
Well, just I got one of these little vape pens, not one of those big douchebag cloud machines. I got just a little bit. And
that's Portland. That's all. I mean, that's everything in Bootya. I mean, you go into Portland and it's all vaped.
Yeah. Today I was sucking on this like it was my truck stop job. It was.
Oh, boy. Hello, boys.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm already starting to get. I've quit before. I quit a few years ago for a couple of months, and I'm just at the beginning of the expelling of poisons and mucuses. I'm really not looking forward to when your body's like, oh my God, we're gonna heal. Let's get rid of all this junk.
Yeah,
and you cough a lot, and there's a lot of ugh. Yeah, but you know, here it comes.
Here we go.
I'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it. I think I might actually, this one feels like it's going to stay. This one, I've been sick of it for years. I keep meaning to quit. Right now, it's just, I use that smoking time to read. And so I miss reading because I haven't read really much of anything that's not on my Twitter feed in, you know, more than a week. So that's been a little tough. And I've got to figure something else. I got to get a comfortable chair or something.
That's, It's been kind of weird. I mean, the last month and a half has been kind of strange, as quiet as it has been. I'm quite, I've been, you know, I think we're both at a really interesting point where, you know, ageism has been taken over a lot in the media or advertising or communications business. So you really are a lucky person if you still have a job at the tender age, you know, beyond 45 in the business, maybe 50. The reason why I bring that up is my work is pretty cyclical, and I am very lucky when I've got a client that feeds us the entire year. I'm very, very, very lucky at that.
Oh yeah.
I can't tell you just how grateful I am, you know, when that happens. When certain things fall through, on the other hand, that makes for a little bit of awkwardness. I love applying to things. I was talking to another creative person who just is like, you know, I'm never going to be able to go back to that very, very big agency that I was a part of before. You know, I haven't looked at my portfolio in 2 years. I haven't updated my resume very much. What's there to update? Do you get asked to do certain jobs? You fulfill these jobs. They're not stuff you're going to be able to show other people. And they're saying, wow, Jesus, it's like today's the situation is I take a half an hour, write a cover letter, drop it down the digital hole, and you never hear from them again.
Yeah.
You could walk into a place, you could pick up a phone, you could, you know, email somebody, you would get a response. You don't get that. And I know that it's a lot of people knowing other people, and that's great, and that's good. That's good. But, you know,
if you're one of those people,
you're not. No, of course not. Of course not. But yeah, there are. I'm just really, really surprised at the number of jobs that are out there. I really, really am. But it's just, you know, are they going to get back? No, we're not going to get back to you.
No, it's insane. Because I do. I spend between an hour and 2 hours a day sending resumes.
Huh.
And there are so many jobs in my field. But the minute they look at that resume and they see my last 10 jobs take place over the last 20 years, they know you're not fresh out of college. They know you're not coming in for entry level stuff.
Hmm.
And they just blow it off. You know, I've had some incredible work experiences, including working for the fucking Democratic National Committee. I'm hireable. I'm good at what I do. I am still an adolescent in my head. I got gray in my beard. That's it. I'm still a child, you know, and I still think like a child. I still play video games. I still fuck around and I still swear, you know, and the saying boobies still makes me giggle. I'm young at heart. Whatever, but you know, it's and I have dumbed down my resume to the point that any dumber and it becomes fraud. You
know? Oh my God. We're also in a place where we you know, this goes out to a certain select audience. Some people know us. They know who we are. They know who we're talking about. They know who our, you know, relationships with employers and so forth are, you know. And so it's like, how careful are you by what you talk about? You know,
I'm done being careful. There's people out there that owe me a shitload of money and I want it. And I have no problem with public shaming anymore. I'm pissed. I'm fucking, look, flat out, dude.
I didn't know this.
No, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
You know, I am living off $2.20 bags of fucking potatoes right now because I can't even find a dipshit job that pays half of what I made 3 years ago. It's not out there. Nobody trusts anybody of our age and experience that is willing to come in near entry level, because why the fuck would you? And what do you say? Flat out, I'm fucking hungry. You know, I'm 46 years old. I should not be living on fucking ramen and goddamn potatoes again.
No.
And yet here I am, you know, and I got 400 a month coming out of about 1,000 a month tops that goes straight over to the ex and the kids, you know, and then past that, you know, I'm 400 in the hole every fucking month. And yet, you know, I got people that owe me money and they always have excuses for why they can't fucking pay me. So, you know, one in particular who I am not actually going to public shame because I actually like the kid, but, you know, showed me a thing that he bought on the internet, and he bought it for $1,200 and he sold it on eBay for $1,700. Mm-hmm. He was so goddamn proud of himself. And I'm just like, well, that's pretty fucking spiffy when you owe me $2,500.
Well, it's just like you owe me half of that. When's that coming?
No, you owe me more than that. It's just like,
well, there you go.
Yeah, you certainly had the wiggle room for that, didn't you? So, you know, I get frustrated and I realize that, and it, obviously this took me, what, 4.5 decades? Getting pissed off just gets me nowhere, you know? And maybe that comes down to what we were talking about earlier with outrage fatigue. I was livid during the Bush years, and then my hope and change let him off the hook. So I got a war criminal running around, you know, handing candy to the best first lady we've had in 60 years. And everybody thinks it's fucking adorable. And all I can think to myself is, you're a war criminal. The only person that is more of a war criminal than you is your previous fucking vice president.
Yeah,
it's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. Very frustrating.
I mean, the sheer metric tonnage of rage that I pushed in the early 2000s. You know?
I don't know how we made through. I mean, why? I think about that. I can't go to that level. I mean, I'm intensely interested in the breaking news, but what was driving me from 0 to 08 was this day, December 12th, 2000. That is 18 years ago plus a day when the Supreme Court ruled for George W. Bush because of his injury and thusly installed that guy. It just triggered me. I really was like, okay, I'm going to do everything I possibly can. You know, I was stupid and not involved before. We barely won Oregon for Gore. Barely. And Oregon's come a long way since then. And we've had a lot of success, especially here. But it's like that first 8 years, it was just like, what the fuck? And by now, within the last 2 years, it's even more exhausting. It's a greater grind. It's a greater criminal. Every single thing that we thought was actually happening was happening in this this regime that got us here, be it Russia, the GOP just looking the other way, or them taking the money, the NRA being a funnel, you know, from Russia to the GOP, you know, Trump alone, and just like the fucking media, just like letting them be entertained. Let us entertain you with this fucknut. And then next thing you know, we're caging kids. We have 7-year-olds who come exhausted to the border and they die of dehydration and exhaustion.
Yeah.
And the crimes will not stop. But I will tell you this much, Jeff. I do think that things are accelerating. I won't say anything more than that. That doesn't mean that I'm letting my guard down and I'm thinking optimistic thoughts. I'm telling you that the playing field has changed.
I want to jump on that with you. I look at the supposed blue wave we had, and we really did good in those every 2 year races. And we've done this before. And if we can keep momentum, then I'll chill out a little bit. I'll relax and take a breath. My worry is that historically we pull off a feat like this, and as lefties we go, ha, 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 fix that, and then we walk away.
Yep. That's what killed us.
Right now, in my head, and again, I'm praying I'm wrong, the re-election of Donald Trump is a given for me, because I'm already watching the factions on the left start putting down their pitchforks and their flags and talking about who they're going to support and who they're not. We get the Bernies and the Hillaries who have either stuck with or are looking for new people. I think you know by this point how much I just worship the ground Joe Biden walks on. And I'm half and half. One, I just fucking love Joe Biden. And if he runs, I'm there for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of think he shouldn't.
Yeah. You know, anybody who's white, male, and over 70, please don't bother. I mean,
and again, if he got in, I'd be pretty fucking content. This is the guy that gave us the Violence Against Women Act. You know, I mean, it's his bona fides are good, but then you got a young upstart like Beto out of Texas, and that guy's got some serious momentum behind him right now. He's got a good message. He's not out here on the left fringe with me. I know that for certain, and that he is not as progressive as he's being painted. He's a progressive in Texas,
which is different when you're in the rest of the United States, when you're in Massachusetts or in on the blue wall of the West Coast.
Well, out here, it's more Utah Democrats are like California Republican. Everybody wants to stay centrist. Everybody wants to be center to the nudge of the right. We do our best to take care of the LGBT folks. And for the most part, you know, and yet I live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. And, you know, we can't put a rally together for our fucking air with more than a couple of hundred people at it. We are dependent on tourism money, and we let the Republicans run roughshod over the electorate because they want to drill oil or put up a fucking nuclear power plant or some horrific bullshit like that, or you know, or build a harbor in California because they want to get our tar sands out of here. I mean, just bullshit like that. And they just let it go because, you know, Utahns vote stupid. They vote with their Bible sequel.
It's like Titanic 2.
And
the angry years. Should we take a break for a second?
Sure.
Let's do that, and we'll be right back on the other side of this.
Makers of Loosener's Castor Oil Flakes and Fantastic Cigarettes. Loosener's for the smile of beauty, Fantastic's for the smile of success.
Hey, Chucklehead, let me ask you a question. When you went to college, they made you pay for it, right? Higher education costs something. It's not free. But here you are, listening to the shows on the Defenestrate Media Broadcast Network, receiving a higher education than you can get in the Ivy League, and you're listening to it all for free. The Left Show, Hold 322, you're listening to all those for nothing. Do us all a favor, freeloader. Head over to theleftshow.com and drop a few bucks with the donate button. Think about it. If these shows go away, what are you and your drum circle gonna listen to while you're making patchouli incense and painting your protest signs? Limbaugh? Really? Get serious. TheLeftShow.com. Do the right thing for the left wing.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of... Hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the seventh draft of a resignation message to that soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh CoffeeCast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and ProgressiveVoices.com. So until the next pot gets brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The CoffeeCast Podcast.
What do you miss when you miss The Left Show?
Huckabee, being a former pastor,
yeah,
and the biggest mouthpiece for the Christian right, has proven himself time and again to not be a Christian because he believes that Levitical law is absolute and was never removed by Christ.
Right.
So he's a rabbi,
yeah,
and therefore not Christian.
Yeah, yes. He's Rabbi Huckabee.
Why not? Then he gets to eat better deli food.
Oh. Haven't the Jews been through enough?
Yeah. Oh.
That was a good point. Good point.
I am pretty sure.
I know
we got a little bit to go, but I am pretty sure Taylor just won the show.
Fresh episodes every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher, and theleftshow.com.
This is good. This is good back and forth. We don't even have to talk about subjects. This is just called checking in.
I do like bullshitting. I think it works out really well for us.
It's more fluid.
Well, we keep getting in and out of topics too.
Yeah, that's good. Because, so, you know, if you can go from, you know, Adderall to Helen Mirren, there you go.
Mm. If I had some Helen Mirren, I would definitely need some Adderall.
I was really happy. Let's say that we're back, okay? 3, 2, and we're back. We were talking more about Helen Mirren. I don't know why, but Excalibur is either on HBO or it's on Amazon Prime. And it was one of my favorite, like, really cheeseball movies when I watched it in the early 80s. And you go through it, and there's a lot of like amazing talent in that movie. Not just Helen Mirren as the what is it? Yeah, she's the evil sister. But
Morgaine.
Yeah, Morgaine. Morgaine. Yeah, she's in there. Leah, let's use a little bit of music and do a little bit of IMDb for just a second, shall we? That'll be our IMDb music.
No, I got it. It's, Excalibur is playing on Amazon Prime.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at it right now. Morgana, they have her down as.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was watching Ready Player One. And one of the chants that they used was Morgana's chant of making from Excalibur. I'm not kidding. Of course, the whole movie is, I mean, the whole book in the movie is just like references from the 80s and all this other stuff. But I was like going, nobody knows what that is, but I know what that is. And not only that, who happens to be in it, Nicole Williamson, who nobody knows about, was a fantastic, just a mad Merlin, just uh-huh. mad. Liam Neeson's in it. A very young Liam Neeson, a younger Patrick Stewart is in it.
Wesley.
Oh, my God. Gabriel Byrne, an unrecognizable Gabriel Byrne, plays Uthed Pendragon. So if you really want to see, like, John Boorman makes these, like, he has these genius, brilliant, like, movies like Deliverance, okay? And then he'll have these, like, these mad, like, escapades, you know, like Zardoz and Excalibur. Zardoz. Just like, I mean,
Zardoz. Sean Connery and Zardoz, that little banana sling, the orange banana sling he was wearing in that.
It looks like Borat.
Yeah, that was that was our season three mascot for the Left Show. You know, every 50 episodes, I kind of change up how the logo looks a little bit. Right. Same font, branding's important, but right now I'm doing a little Star Trek-y thing for season 9.
Yes,
but yeah, season 3, man. There was a little Zardoz on everything that we did for 50 shows. So they're like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because
it's a thing. Do I have to have an explanation?
Yeah, I really didn't.
You really don't need an explanation. You're doing a podcast. It could be anything you want it to be.
Yeah. No, the FCC can bite me. So I'm flipping through here. I'm looking on the Amazon Prime. And I have to tell you, and this is where I geek out just a little bit, mm-hmm. is Richard Burton in Camelot is also playing on Amazon. Yeah.
Huh.
Which is, those were my songs from Camelot were my audition pieces when I still thought about being an actor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when I'd have to sing, I'd sing from Camelot, which nobody did because everybody was singing fucking Les Mis back then. It was either Les Mis or Miss Saigon. And from time to time, Phantom of the Opera would pop up, and always that same goddamn song. And then I'd pop up, you know, it can't snow here till, you know, December. July and August cannot be too hot. There's a legal limit to the snow here in Camelot. And I would sing for you, but I'll piss off the neighbors. you can't do show tunes quiet.
You, what do you mean you can do show tunes? And you're a 1, 2, 3 kick.
I'm sitting here in an open goddamn room.
That was an excellent diversion. So as we came out from the break, we happened to cover the origin story of Excalibur there. What can you say?
Or Helen Mirren.
Yeah. It should be the Helen Mirren episode. we're talking about. What an amazing actress, like in The Queen, like she just really does this wicked, you know, she just knows that she's doing, you know, this, it just with a little bit, you can just kind of tell that, you know, she's just enjoying it just a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I got to watch this now. It's been so long.
Camelot?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in 20 years. Easy.
God, I can't think of.
Oh, it is. Lady Hawk.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, Lady Hawk. And then what about that 80s? What, with Bowie? What was that? What was that movie? Dark Crystal?
No, Labyrinth.
Oh, Labyrinth. Yeah. What, the Muppets?
Mm-hmm.
The Muppets. Yeah.
Because right now they've got a comic book out. That they went through and did the Goblin King's origin story there for a little while.
Wow.
And now they're doing Labyrinth proper and a couple of other things, and it's all coming out of Henson.
Hmm.
They're super popular, and the art is amazing and very pretty. I haven't really read them. I have flipped through them. But those folks that do read them, they are obsessed. They love them.
If you're really sick and tired of Christmas specials, you know, all the Rankin Bass and stuff, I highly recommend another Muppet feature. And that would be Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which was on HBO. I think it was probably the late 70s, early 80s. It's really, wow, really delightful. And if you, yeah, I mean, it's got a, you know, Frank Oz, and it's, you know, it's got Henson and, you know, all the Muppet folks. it's really cute and adorable. Just adorable, adorable show.
This is fun. Highlander.
Highlander. Oh, my God, Highlander. Wow. How that has gotten the legs it has, it amazes me when you look at it. And the special effects are what they are for the time.
At the end, and if you ever go back and watch it, pay attention to the end when he wins. It looks like the animation was done scraping the original negative with like a needle. You know,
I wouldn't doubt it.
But it was so, I mean, I've never seen anything like it and before or after. And that's why in my head, I'm like, oh, it's got to be what it is. Because the other, they picked him up and they just went and scratched all the special effects in.
Oh, man.
It looks fucking cool and bad at the same time. I remember just, I saw that on VHS at my buddy at JC's place when I was young. And then he and I were in my first year of college when Highlander 2 came out, and we went and saw that, and it was like, oh, what the shit is this garbage, you know? And John Connery was in it. And then you throw in Michael Ironsides, who is either good or terribly, terribly bad.
Michael Ironsides was also in Scanners.
Yep.
Which, of course, I was going to go off on a Cronenberg tangent for a second. But Ironsides can be just terrifying.
Yeah. When he's on, he's amazing. And when he's off and he's chewing scenery, it's just the worst thing ever.
What like Starship Troopers?
No, I liked him in Starship Troopers.
I did too.
Perfect.
I did too.
But yeah, Highlander 2. Go watch Highlander 2.
I was talking about, to my kids about Darkman. I love the cheesiness. I love Sam Raimi movies. I love, yep, I love Drag Me to Hell as you know, intermittent and inconsistent as is. I don't care. I love it. I love Sam Raimi movies. But when you go back to, which Sam Raimi movie was I just talking about before?
Darkman.
Darkman. Love that. I mean, my God, look who's, you know, Liam Neeson's in it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Mrs. You know, Coen brother, Frances McDormand. Frances McDormand plays the love interest, and there's some real authentic, you know, kind of consequential things happening. And so I think we're talking about, well, they made more than one, didn't they? Yeah. And so I think Darkman 2 or Darkman 3, I think they brought Billy Zane in because, of course, Liam Neeson goes like, I'm not going to come back and do this. Are you fucking kidding me?
Sam Raimi hurts his actors.
He hurts them or hurts them?
Hurt. H-U-R-T.
Okay.
That's not in a bad way. Just listen to Bruce Campbell talk about what Sam Raimi does to him. You know, he wants to get a shot. He's going to get a shot no matter how many gimbals you're attached to, which I like his enthusiasm. But
I think you have to throw yourself in. I mean, that's your job. So
you do. Yeah. And that was, I mean, it was watching the Spider-Man movies, and there was the scene in Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. And when they get Doc Ock in the emergency room, and the most Sam Raimi-esque set of camera motions in there, hard zooms, blood flying.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. It gave me the Evil Dead tickles.
Oh, God. When I saw that, I was just like, this is so brilliant. Just so incredibly, like, Evil Dead 2 was just... I would watch it and I would like go, did I just see what I just saw? And it was this part where Bruce Campbell loses control of his arm because the evil book like ate his arm or something. And so he's infected and the arm is beginning to take over and it's picking up plates and smashing himself in the head.
Then the hand went bad.
Which is fucking hilarious. So he tries to stop it and eventually takes a chainsaw and he cuts it off. His expression is something like, I fucking got you at last, you bastard. You're cutting your own fucking arm off.
Yep.
That's fucking hilarious. That is just awesome. Good times.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're fantastic movies. That's all. So now we've covered Sam Raimi. Bruce Campbell, by the way, was in Darkman.
At the very, very last scene, I am nowhere and I am everywhere. I am Darkman. So when you see the row of folks and they're all just kind of, cities, just that zoomed in shot of a thousand people, and he's just like he's. Some guys in the crowd, he turns around, it's Bruce Campbell, and it's just like, I am Darkman. Boom. What a great ending.
Yeah.
Love that.
Still an awful movie.
I love the part where Liam Neeson takes the bad guy, and the bad guy, they're on top of the skyscraper, and he drops him, but before he does, bad guy goes, you can't do it, you can't bring yourself to do it, you can't kill me, you just don't have it in you, and he lets him go, and the guy dies, and Neeson goes, I'm learning to live with a lot of things. It's just those deadpan bun mutts. I love.
But the bad guy, now here was why.
It was Trump.
Sometimes the bad guy was the one who played Benny on L.A. Law.
Oh,
the special needs guy.
That guy. Oh, my God. That. Yeah. Okay. He died a couple of years ago. Okay, I know who that was. The other guy that I was talking about that he dropped, that was a different character, the real kingpin. But Colin Friels. Larry Drake is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Larry Drake.
Yeah. And he's got this one punchline, and he carries around this cigar clipper. And that's part of his thing that he's eventually he uses it on people that he, wants to get information from. And he just does this punchline. And he goes like, yeah. Oh, one of the bad guys shows up and he's got an artificial leg and he can see he's walking kind of funny. And he goes, a wooden leg. And he goes, yeah, I dated a woman with a wooden leg once, but I had to break it off. I was like, oh, wow. Holy cow. Wow. That's really awful.
Yeah, Benny Stulwicks. 144 episodes of L.A. Law he did.
Wow.
Especially Benny from 87 to 94.
Yes. And he, like many of his fine members of his generation are no longer here with us. He died in 2016.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Darkman. He played Durant.
Durant. That's right. That's right.
And then
Die Darkman, Die the Return of Durant. Even though he was in a horrible helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The effect work in that movie is really, really bad, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody was giving Sam Raimi any money.
Yeah.
He just did the best he can. It's impressive, though, that he did manage to get, what's his name? Tall guy, big dick.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, that's the one. Yes. Have you not heard that?
I don't know whether or not I've heard that. No.
Yeah, he's he is apparently mildly famous for those that have viewed the man for being well endowed.
So that's what happens. That's what happens with Northern Irish, because he's a Belfast boy.
Dude, I haven't heard that. I didn't know that.
Yes. He is a Northern Irish guy.
Well, I knew he was Northern Irish. I didn't know the Northern Irish were well hung. That's what I didn't know. I didn't. That's a stereotype.
Any Irish person is hung by the British.
I know.
They're hung by the British. Every one of them.
Oh, you made it dark.
Ba-da-boom. Psh. You can go back into my family name has a unique relationship with Oliver Cromwell, who I guess that we were troublemakers when they were hunting down Irish. They would chop off heads with our names on it. Yeah. So I guess we pissed them off. I guess it would kick us out of just whatever homes or whatever else the people had. You would just go, okay, you're terrorists. You know, we're going to burn down your home and chop off your daddy's head.
Sure, as you do.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
We still do that in parts of rural Utah. you just have to understand the rural Utah lifestyle.
It's not an X-file.
No, what? Oh, Home. That's the one you're thinking of.
Uh-huh.
The one with the bomb that was slid under the bed.
Oh, God. That was so creepy. That was so freaking creepy. So.
Did you watch any of the Clinton affair thing that popped up?
Watched it. I lived it.
Well, so did I.
Well, no. You mean the one that was in A&E or something?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I know who the players are, and it's too painful.
Yeah, I don't watch it either. Well, this is a nice little leg of conversation I have absolutely driven into the ground in less than 30 seconds.
No, that's okay, because we all know that those very same people were the very same ones that this is where we are. I mean, Kavanaugh was like one of the people involved in who's the guy who was investigating Clinton?
Kenneth Starr.
Kenneth Starr. Okay. Kavanaugh was on Starr's team, okay?
Yep.
Now he's on the Supreme Court because that's the gift you get.
Yep.
Conway and his wife, you know, they were all like known as the elves, you know. They're all, and look where they are. Look where they are now. So if you don't stop them then, they'll come back again.
Well, my favorite thing of the last 6 months was listening to an interview with Kenneth Starr in which he offered the sage advice that one, he was getting impatient waiting for the end of Mueller's investigation. It's like, fuck you piece of shit. And his other goddamn piece of sage wisdom was that the Democrats really shouldn't be thinking about impeaching a president because it's destabilizing.
Oh, you really? Oh, really?
Because you got to remember, man, you go back and read the Starr report. All it really was, that thing ran 4 years.
Yeah.
And what we got were the salacious details of a casual adultery. Not great, you know.
Yeah.
And to be honest, very predatory on Bill Clinton's part. And I'm one of those, I'm a Monica Lewinsky apologist. I think that the way that the media and American people have treated her over the years is just abominable.
Exactly.
And you know what? Like I have said before, you know, Bill Clinton's charm and charisma, Christ, I'd have a hard time saying no to him. So.
But here's the man who, you know, was all over the investigation of the death of Vince Foster, you know, and the Paula Jones lawsuit and everything else. And these people, I mean, I see a picture with Brett Kavanaugh and Starr, you know, and then there's another guy, Alex Azar. Alex Azar, I think, is currently, he's the HHS director, this guy. Mm-hmm. So if you don't stop them then, they'll keep coming back like a bad disease. That's what they do. That's the whole thing. I just remember that incredible Travis. At one point, Gingrich shows up on Larry King to give some kind of, you know, rundown about what's happening. And maybe it's in August, maybe in September of 98. We're well into the investigation, well into the whole mishigas of the thing. And I'm getting the idea that this is a soft coup. What he's going to do is he's going to knock him off and weaken Gore. And, you know, so they can eventually install a Republican, which is what they did 2 years later with Bush.
Right.
Now, I'm not crazy, because what they did is that's their job. Each opposing side is supposed to make the other side have as much pain and suffering and weaken them as much as possible. This was so fucking underhanded. But what did Clinton left with, 70% approval rating on the date? 70 what? Yeah,
70 plus.
70 plus?
It was like 72. It was up there. I mean, it was fucking high.
And fucking Al, you know, didn't want to be tainted with Bill. And he runs a mediocre campaign, and then we wind up.
That was Donna Brazile's fault.
Yeah, okay.
I will gleefully and joyfully point at Donna Brazile and just how fucking awful she is and wonder why the fuck she's still working at the level she's working at when she has caused more fucking problems than just about anybody else. It's infuriating that Donna Brazile still has work. You know?
Because we're employable. You need campaign work. Where are your fellas?
Yeah.
We can do this shit.
Maybe I am being a little hypercritical. Fuck it. Donna Brazile's never weighed in on whether or not I get a job. She was terrible. She's always terrible. Even when she took over for Wasserman Schultz, she was fucking terrible.
Oh, God, I remember that. Oh, God.
I mean, it's like they're like, oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the worst thing ever. What do we replace that with? Oh,
Donna Brazile. Oh, of course. Why not?
Yeah. Because, you know, so Donna Brazile, in my head, is not only responsible for the Bush administration, Bush 2, she's got a lot to answer for the post-leak running and the assumption of victory for Hillary Clinton by the DNC, because she was running the goddamn ship at the time and doing what she does, you know, and she's also to be held responsible for the Trump presidency. So you just see Donna fucking Brazile pop up and you know bad shit. She's like one of the fucking horsemen.
You might as well be a Republican because you're about as effective for them.
Yeah. But I mean, really, I heard she was taking over the DNC after Wasserman Schultz.
It was like, oh, great. Well, you know, it's over.
Yeah, frying pan to fire. Now, at the time, I knew Trump was going to win from the moment that motherfucker went down his escalator. I knew it.
It would have been a tragedy if, you know, that escalator, you know, malfunctioned and you got like fell into it. I mean, that would have been horrible. Yeah, it would have been a terrible tragedy. It would have been so awful.
He's bad enough. You know, he's bad enough that I think that he is a fixed point in time and space, and that time travelers coming back to try and kill him will not be able to, you know, because,
like any Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. Some things are so awful that they have to have happened and that you can't change them. It's why time travelers have yet to kill Hitler. They can't. The time stream won't let them. You know, because some things are so horrific that to change them, you know, would cause the universe to explode or some fake science mumbo jumbo like that. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. That's completely understandable.
Otherwise, Donald Trump wouldn't have been a thing somewhere around the 80s. Do it. No reason to do it now. Go back and do it then. Right. Talking to you, time travelers.
This has been a most enjoyable get back together. That was nice. We can even have subject matter. We can even discuss subject matter regarding the current political situation next time when we do that. Okay. But I would say that an hour eight is pretty damn good.
Okay.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm great.
Okay, cool. Cool.
I am. I just threw out time travel. I turned this into a Doctor Who episode.
But there are other people, you know, for instance, like the newly appointed opioid czar, Kellyanne Conway.
Jesus.
I'm never going to let that go. God, no. She's horrible. What a horrible human being. Horrible human being. Human. Yes. Among the parlance of the young, they like to use expressions like garbage person. So yeah. There you have it.
Yep.
All right, man. It has been a joy.
As always.
Yes. And right.